Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the BAIO, the Black African Infrastructure Organization.
Do you believe in the concept of an independent diaspora nation state for the descendants of the transatlantic slave trade, the biggest crime in the history of humanity? Are you tired of Black African people being scattered across a diaspora, living as second and third class citizens in foreign lands? Should Black African people have their own Israel? If you believe and support any of these positions, check out the BAIO social network on Ming. People with various thoughts and opinions on reality coming together with like mind toward a singular goal and common denominator: land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Visit BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. That's BAIOAfricStand5.ming.com. Black African power and a BB Fahodie. Total African liberation. Peace.
Is this what you want to be their entertainment, their playthings? Their pets? Cowering beneath a whip. And then fighting amongst ourselves. Is this what you want?
I've lived by their rules my entire life. I've protected them. Envied them. And for what? To be treated like an animal.
We are not animals! We do have a choice! We can choose to be more than this! We can be slaves! Or we can be!
You are now listening to 13 Revolution on the BAIO Radio. Here is your host, Minister Dawood Mohammed.
Hail Trump! Hail our people! Hail victory! No one will honor us for losing gracefully. No one mourns the great crimes committed against us. For us, it is conquer or die. The mainstream media, or perhaps we should refer to them in the original German, Lügenpresse. It's not just that they are leftist and cucks. It's not just that many are genuinely stupid. Indeed, one wonders if these people are people at all. Or instead, soulless golem, animated by some dark power to repeat whatever talking point John Oliver stated the night before.
I feel like that about
to be white is to be a striver, a crusader, an explorer, and a conqueror. We build,
really? We
produce, we go upward. And we recognize the central lie of American race relations. We don't exploit other groups. We don't gain anything from their presence. They need us and not the other way around.
You lying. And you lying.
Within the very blood in our veins, as children of the sun, lies the potential for greatness.
Children of the sun.
That is the great struggle we are called to. We are not meant to live in shame and weakness and disgrace. We were not meant to beg for moral validation from some of the most despicable creatures to ever populate the planet. We were meant to overcome all of it, because that is natural and normal for us.
Good Lord.
The press has clearly decided to double down and wage war against the legitimacy of Trump and the continued existence of white America. But they are really opening up the door for us. America was, until this past generation, a white country designed for ourselves and our posterity. It is our creation. It is our inheritance, and it belongs to us.
Nothing really. Children of the light, we don't subjugate nobody else. They need us. I salam alaikum, hotep, peace, black African power. It's your host, Brother Minister Daoud, bringing the 13 Revolution Experience to BAIO Radio. Once again, a staunch supporter, a diamond member of the inner circle of BAIO, because that means that it's in my heart, my mind, and my soul. And what it can be encapsulated in three words and one question: land, infrastructure, and nationhood. Question being, what is the end game? I'm so grateful to Allah to be here on an unlikely Tuesday night. Generally on this night, my brother Kyle Genesis comes on. He has been busy, so he hasn't been here in the last couple of Tuesdays. So I took the opportunity to come on tonight, brothers and sisters, because I really just need to speak and get some thoughts out, and it would be some therapy for me. I am going through a whole lot right now. In fact, really, the worst is over, because I had a very, very terrible week last week, despite the fact that I had the blessing to go to a phenomenal security conference and was able to talk to some vendors and get them some things going, you know what I'm saying? But I came back to such a mess, man, that I had to use every faculty in my body, my mind, body, and soul to kind of clean up. But, you know, Allah willing, I prevailed, so Allah is God and always has been, always will be. And, you know, it is what it is. I guess the older that you get, the calmer you are in crisis. If you are used to solving problems, sometimes people say, people take my kindness for weakness and I can't untie helping people. But I think that what you don't realize is that the more you help people, the more you train and condition yourself to help yourself. And it becomes a habit, it becomes a modality for you, so that when you need that energy, when you need that strategy, when you need your faculties, you're so used to doing it for others, it just becomes natural to you. But if we just keep looking at the glasses half empty, then generally we don't really see the blessing in helping others. And that's really what this show is about. And so anyway, brothers and sisters, I apologize, man. I really do. I know I haven't been here in the last couple of weeks. I have been kind of selfish. Been really trying to get into these two certifications I'm trying to get. Spend time building my temple, two temples really, and my organization, and I haven't really been here to talk to you. Big shouts to the brother who runs a YouTube channel entitled My Name Is My Name, which used to be Originality Rules. He, to me, is the MVP of the BAIO, because he has gone into the treasure trove of information that we have, cut it up, and been able to repost it. You know, words cannot express the flattery, how flattered I am, how grateful I am that this good brother sees enough in my work to go that deep into it, to even go to 13 Revolution on my main channel and get some stuff. Like, I really, really can't thank Allah enough for this brother. So anyway, brothers and sisters, you know, this particular show, I'm only going to go for an hour, and this particular show has been on my heart for a couple of weeks. I am very sorry if you thought it was going to come through last week. It went through on a night where I had a whole lot of crises going, and I woke up the next day and I was like, oh shoot, that's right, I had that radio show and I didn't reschedule it. And so I am very passionate. I am very passionate about group economics, group nationality, group nationalism, group black African power, group Islamic power, group more power, group kinetic power, I am very passionate about us working together as a group. When I was younger, you can ask people who know me, you can check it out. I used to, it was in me, and I used to always organize brothers and sisters. Instead of having us really brothers when I was younger, instead of having us fragmented, I would always start a club. I would institute, like even as a young child, I would start a club, and I would like print up fake badges and requirements to be in the club and things like that. And just about anybody ended up joining it. But what I always wanted to do is have a disciplined, structured body of people together trying to work for one common cause. When you don't have a body of men and women, when you guys are not organized and you're not working for one common cause, then you are pissing in the wind. So when we say that we want land, infrastructure, and nationhood, we undoubtedly, without a doubt, we the BAIO, who is Mr. Holicism, Big Dev, Roger Fairley, Max611, Earl Hardaway, Brother Jonathan, me, Brother Minister Dawood, Brother Thomas, the Ivy the Queen, Forever Queen of Fama, Sister Salima Samad, and many, many other sisters who join, contribute, and participate in what we're doing. When we say that we want to be together, what we're talking about, when we say land, infrastructure, nationhood, what we mean is that the ultimate end game of black power, black movements, and all and everything associated with it is to own and control lands, to be able to then build, maintain, and control infrastructure, and with that, claim and enjoy nationhood. And when that happens, then you have finally reached what the end game is all about. But the big struggle between the BAIO and the average conscious black person, the average person that buys into America's politics, and the average person who Joe Schmo run in the streets and have got tired of the various different talking points of various other people, the big difference and the big point of contention is that their end game is not land, infrastructure, nationhood, and ours is. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm just going to try to stay as calm as I possibly can. But this is what I'm going to talk about this week. Let me read the model and try to keep this professional. The title of the show is Extinction Agenda 3.0, Walk a Mile in Another Person's Shoes, Negro. This show will be the end of all, to be the end-all, be-all, as to who should be in the nationalist movement and who should not. We have some serious questions to ask. Does going to jail mean you're superior to anyone in this movement? Does going to college mean you're superior to anyone in this movement? Does doing a lot of time in a particular branch of the movement mean that you're superior to anyone in this movement? And what is the process of extinction? And how does a species survive extinction? I know this. You better walk a mile in another person's shoes before you comment on what they could or could not withstand, Negro. And so let's get on with it, get on today, brothers and sisters. So let's talk about extinction for a second. See, you know, to just give you a little bit of just a basic background of what extinction really is, to be extinct. In biology and ecology, extinction is the end of an organism. An end of an organism or a group of organisms, normally a species. The moment of extinction is generally considered to be the death of the last individual of the species. Although the capacity to breed and recover may have been lost before this point, because a species' potential range may be very large. Determining this moment is difficult and is usually done retrospectively. This difficulty leads to phenomena such as Lazarus taxa, where a species presumed extinct abruptly reappears, typically in a fossil record, after a period of apparent absence. I want to go back and highlight. This difficulty leads to the phenomena such as Lazarus taxa, where a species presumed extinct abruptly reappears, typically in the fossil record, after a period of apparent absence. Let's go off script and let's talk about that for a second, brothers and sisters. Extinction. Being wiped out. Never being seen again. What once was is no more. to not be able to touch, to not be able to see, to not be able to hear from certain species, certain people, certain movements, certain schools of thought, certain flavors of black men, certain flavors of black women. You and I have been trying our best to help the enemy and practice extinction on each other for quite a while now. And it's gotten to be more belligerent lately because now you have the gender wars where the problem of the black community rests solely on the black woman, specifically the single black mother's shoulders. No. The problem of the black community rests solely on the black men's shoulders. And I had the unfortunate incident or experience of being involved in a war between some young Black Lives Matter, black feminists, you heard that correctly, in which I had no idea. Because, you see, I'm Brother Minister Daoud, and I do my Muslim thing, and, that's my nature. It's what I do. It's what I'm about. And I have my career. I have my family. And that's really, I would say that, although I think I'm well-connected, to some degree I'm in a bubble. And so I did not know that there was a segment of black women who think that their greatest oppressor is the black man and the white man just, is playing around with this thing. And so these women were coming on this post talking about how any black woman who supports a black man is a mammy and that, you're just helping him suppress us. They didn't help us. They didn't defend us, and they helped the oppressor. These women was going hard. I couldn't believe with some of the stuff that they were saying. But you want to know something? Was that any different than the stuff that you hear brothers talk about when they talk about black females and how black single mothers is the cause of every problem in the black community, and that if we didn't have black single mothers, and then they go through the whole welfare thing and how welfare took the man out of the home and this, all of this stuff. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, we have been banging on each other for a long time. But there's three really specific people I want to talk to today. Because at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, you know what white people understand? I was reading an article today and a couple of articles. Do you know white people understand that their birth rate is way inferior to ours? Despite what that piece of garbage was talking about in that clip that I played, white people understand that the birth rate of young black men and women is 50% more than theirs. So in other words, we have 50% more children being born than theirs. And they understand that basically, in some articles they're saying that they would be a minority by somewhere around 2044. So if they understand that, and they most certainly do, and they understand that your birth rate is on the rise while theirs, despite the genocide, yours is on the rise and theirs is on the decline. The bottom line is that they don't need no help, Negro, taking people out of the movement that you and I are a part of, trying to wake black people up and get them to see the end game. They don't need no help mashing on, putting down, and isolating a segment of the population who could help. And like I always say, you and I need every gun, every foot, every hand, every eye, every mouth that we can get. But we are so stupid that we are, we are busy trying to reduce the amount of people that help because we have sick inferiority complexes and we're constantly trying to make ourselves be superior over somebody else based on some weakness, some defect that we are trying to champion as some superiority. And so therefore, brothers and sisters, the bottom line is this. If you're a black nationalist, if you're a black revolutionary, if you're a black spiritual person, you should be trying to welcome every able-bodied person into your movement. And if you're not, then quite frankly, you can't see the end game and you need some teaching because you have lost your way and it's time for me to put that work in for you to find your way back. We'll be back. Ha 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 I really don't intend to go too long tonight, but I do intend to be strong. I intend to get my point across, and hopefully we can put the nail in the coffin of those who feel that their particular experience was superior to somebody else's. To me, one of the main reasons of division, and those who have already become awake, who have already accepted that black people are in a state of emergency and that we need to do something and do something fast, the main cause of diversion is somebody placing their experience as superior to somebody else's. And this is the first basic to me. This is the first and most annoying segment of that particular trifecta. Okay? So I have to start it off with this. And if this is you, take it personal. But if this is not you, laugh and keep it moving. You know who you are, Negro. You know who you are. You're that brother or that sister. You must have done a little bit of time. And nobody is putting you down for that. In fact, everybody is attempting to love you despite the fact that you made some mistakes. Because they understand that you made some mistakes in the confines of a system that was trying to destroy you. And isn't that what this is all about? Isn't the fact that you want to be a black nationalist, which means you're a black person that wants your own nation? Isn't the whole goal of that, isn't the whole understanding of that, is to understand that you and I have been born in a system that has done everything it can to systematically destroy, subjugate, exploit, and then eventually annihilate us? Don't you understand? Isn't that the understanding? And when you start looking into the concept of extinction, what you understand is in the ecosystem on the planet, almost every animal, almost every insect, almost every form of life has some kind of interconnection. And when the world is working in harmony, all animals, plants, vegetation, and everything else on the planet move in unison, adding or taking something away from each other. Now, that doesn't mean that certain animals don't eat other animals. That doesn't mean that certain things don't kill each other. But the fact of the matter is that harmony means that in some way, shape, or form, thing is moving the way it's supposed to, and there's not one force attempting to become dominant over the other forces and therefore reducing their relevance because everything has a meaning. Get it? See, from my understanding, we can study all of this conscious information. We can go through all of the science and all of the different indigenous records and things like that, and we still can't see very simple common sense things. So when you talk about acquiring land, whether it be in America or whether it be in Africa, and we of the BAIO, we, brothers and sisters, I have to continue to restate, we believe that the host nation and headquarters has to be off the shores of America. And the reason being is number one, because y'all done got crazy over here. And you think that because you've done one thing or you've been involved in something in your life, that makes you superior to others. So we know and understand that we need to be isolated off the shores of America so that we can have a chance to really heal our wounds and get our stuff straight off to ourselves and ultimately we can control that which makes life, gives us a better quality of life and makes life run for us being infrastructure. But a lot of you come after us with this, but that's really not what we want to talk about today. What I want to talk about is jailhouse superiority. So here it is, like you heard that clip from the Fat Boys just now. And that comes from my childhood, and it was one of them funny songs, but it was actually a pretty cool song that they used to play. And they talked about the negativity of jail. See, I'm not judging you if you were a persistent felon, if you did crime, you gangbang, whatever. What I am judging is when you think that you going to jail, you running the streets, you performing or doing harm to another black person makes you qualified more than anybody else to be in a revolution and to run the revolution. And for some reason, there's a segment of you that thinks because you've been to jail and that you've been through the harsh conditions of jail, that makes you more qualified and nobody has gone through what you've gone through. Nobody has gone through what you've gone through. That is so ignorant, narrow-minded, and makes you such a fool Because the reality of the situation is that, again, if you have not walked a mile in another man's shoes, how the hell do you know what they've been through? So check this out, brothers and sisters. I've been through this with three different individuals online already, okay? I won't call their names. I won't even call their genders. But this is what I went through. The first individual, because for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying? Like, I am not the kind of person that ever talks about a post or a calendar or something somebody else does. But you know how online and social media is. Everybody in your particular group thinks that you're talking about them when you talk. So either way, this person begins to take shots at me by saying, you wouldn't be able to spend 30 days in a box. You wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't be able to be sentenced and you don't snitch on other people. You wouldn't be able to do this and you wouldn't be able to do that. And my question to you is, when you were sitting there talking about your own personal experiences and what somebody else wouldn't be able to do, how the hell do you know somebody wouldn't be able to handle that? Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You handle what you're faced with. You handle what you is put before you. And the reality of it is if you've gone through it and you survived it, then somebody else could because you weren't the first one. And let me go a step further, brothers and sisters, and I mean no disrespect to those of you, brothers and sisters, who have done time and you got love for your people and love for your movement. Believe me, I mean no disrespect. But I got to deal with a segment of people that have gone through your experience today, so you got to bear me witness. Let me tell you something, brother or sister, who thinks you are mega qualified because you went to jail and nobody else is. For you to judge those of us who is out here in the movement that have done 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, whatever, while you was locked up and you went through being in a box for 30, 40, 60, 90 days, or you survived a yard fight, or you survived getting shanked in the bathroom, just remember something. Did you not have to pass me before you went to go do your crime? I don't think you heard what I said. Did you not have to pass me in my suit and my bow tie with my papers before you went to go do your crime? Yes, you did. And when you passed me, did you say you wanted to be down? Did you say you wanted to help? No, you preferred to go do the crime that you did. And so therefore, when you got caught, I was waiting for you out here with love and open arms, all of y'all. And by the way, the very fact that you didn't join and you didn't help, it didn't have to be the nation. It could be the conscious community. It could be the Wahhabians. It could be the Moors. Whatever happened, you stepped past all conscious groups and you chose to do a crime. And when you had to pay for the crime and you had to go through harsh conditions in order to deal with the crime, don't turn around and talk about people who didn't do that and say, we weren't qualified. Are you out of your mind? Is your brain the size of a pea? Are you crazy? And so I just don't understand this because it's becoming big. And you got people that I respect talking about, if you ain't did no crime, what you doing in the revolution? That's the most asinine question I've heard in my life. Are you crazy? Because you have no, you know, if you ain't did no crime or whatever, you ain't got no record, well, this don't mean nothing to you. Yes, it does, Negro. Because some of us was born with love for black people in our hearts. And some of us was born with the mission that you say that you learned sometime while you was locked up. Some of us was born with that mission in our hearts. My dad said to me when I was younger and said to me throughout my whole time in the movement, he said, son, it wasn't going to be me, but it will be you and others. We want y'all to get it, to build and acquire a Israel for niggas. That's what my dad said. Now, you may not like the choice of the word nigger, but the reality of it is that what he's basically saying is he's saying that I want you to have land, infrastructure, nationhood, just like the Jews, is what he's saying. And I didn't have to go to jail for that. I didn't have to go to college for that. I didn't have to do nothing. It was in my heart, and it manifested at a certain point in my life. So when people sit there and try to tell you that you are not qualified for the revolution because you didn't go to jail or you wasn't in a gang or something, are you guys crazy? I don't understand you guys. And to me, this is part of the extinction agenda. Because what happens is that you try to snuff people out. You are the ones that alienate people when they try to join groups. Because then, not only that, people decide to try to do crimes just to keep up with y'all. And it's madness. I can't even believe I'm talking about this today. But you know what? Every time I do an Extinction Agenda show, some idiot pops up on social media and says the same thing again. And they say something. It's a different one each time. They say if you ain't did time and you ain't got no record, you're not fit for the movement. And to me, all of y'all are asinine, period, that talk like that. And so therefore, let me say this before I go to the break. Again, I got brothers and sisters in my temple, Muhammad Temple number 13, that got records. You know what I'm saying? I got close friends that got records, and I'm not putting down anybody that has a record that has love for the movement and love for the people. But when you sit there and you want to talk about your experiences, and your experiences make you superior to somebody else because they couldn't have gone through that, let me tell you what you couldn't have gone through. You couldn't have gone through spending 10, 20, 30 years and giving up 2 to 3 families because you pledged your allegiance to the movement and everybody else decided that they wanted to go and do what they wanted to do while you was out there every day. You came early and you stayed late and your family said to you, oh, my God, when are you going to come home and when are you going to spend money on us? And you were spending your time and your money on the movement. Obviously, you could not because you chose to do crimes. And then when you came out, now you was ready for it. But when you weren't there, we had to be there. And the fact of the matter is what I'm saying to you is that you deal with whatever is put before you because that is your destiny. And never think that you're superior to somebody else because you lived out your destiny and they got to live out theirs. How about you walk a mile in another person's shoes, Negro? We'll be back.
It has come to our attention that a mysterious force is loose somewhere in outer space.
The mysteries of creation are there.
Up in the sky?
Up in the sky.
The moon and the planets are there. And new hopes for knowledge and peace are there. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure on which man has ever embarked.
Evil factors, demonic chapters shall be captured by kings through the storms of days after, and to the earth from the sun through triple darkness to blast you with a force that can't be compared to any firepower, for its mind power shared. The brainwave causes vessels to circulate like constellations reflect at night off the lake. Word to the father and mother earth, seeking everlasting life through this hell for what it's worth. Look, listen, and observe, and watch another sea cycle pulling my peeps to the curb. Heed the words, it's like ghetto style proverbs. The righteous pay a sacrifice to get what they deserve. Cannot afford to be confined to a cell. Brainwaves swell, turning a desert to a well. Experience the best teacher. Fossil spray like street sweepers. Little daddy street preacher. Illustrious teacher. Narrator you select. Accompanied by Deck plus the DJ you respect. The 7.5 combined over the front line. The 10% is promoting slander in the airtime. Bear in mind, jewels be the tools of the trade. Sharp blades, heavenly praise, and dues are paid. Above the crowd, above the clouds, where the sounds are original. Infinite skills create miracles.
I swear by everything that I hold holy. If I am 70, I will get up and I will dance to that song. And we're back, brothers and sisters, and I hope and pray that you are getting something out of what we're talking about today. I'm just getting a couple of things off my chest. I am, again, a dedicated proponent of land infrastructure nationhood. I am a black nationalist. I just happen to be a minister and Muslim in the Nation of Islam. Not necessarily a Nation of Islam that you know of, which is, under the leader that I won't say his name on this radio show, but, you know, an independent, independent branch, and the reality of the situation to me is that the highest form of black nationalism to me is land infrastructure and nationhood. It is that which you have got to burn into your mind. You can, like I said before, I asked a very educated, intelligent person like a couple of weeks ago what they thought being a nationalist was, and they, man, they was mad vague. And I said, look, to me, nationalism is owning and acquiring your own land off the shores of America, because that's what we're fighting for, controlling your infrastructure, and being able to enjoy and claim nationhood. And when I said that, it became clear to them. But the thing is, I didn't make that up. I'm just a cog. I'm just a conduit for those three words and the question that comes after it. And I just, you know what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, I'm happy to be a part of that. And I know that I will see that in my lifetime. But at the same time, you know, we have to get ourselves together, and we have to understand that there's certain things that we really have to correct. And one of these things is the feeling of superiority. Honorable Elijah Muhammad says to us in a book called Fall of America, he says, the white man recognizes his coming doom, and many of them would rather die here than go elsewhere outside of America to try to defend what they call their own independent sovereignty. Some have poured gasoline over themselves and committed suicide by setting themselves on fire. This is a very new and open act of a people who want every other people, black, brown, yellow, and red on earth, to fight their war to save their independence. A ruthless and brutal people like America, England, and Germany should be ashamed in this modern time to look for those people whom they have robbed, killed, murdered, and brought under subjugation by force, to think that today they should be so soundly asleep that they ignore the time and the authority that they can unite as a European has been doing against black Africa and brown and yellow Asia. And so let's talk about brothers and sisters who feel that they are most qualified in this nationalist movement because they have a higher education. So in other words, you know what I'm saying, you were one of those persons that was studious and disciplined. You actually went to college. I went to college myself. You actually, you graduated, you went to college. You took it seriously, though. You didn't just take black studies. Like, you took something that you think is really relevant to nationhood. Maybe you took something in engineering. Maybe you took something that had to do with some kind of vocational skill that would help you in diplomacy, language, something like that. And you say that you studied nationalism while you were there because you had access to a lot of information. And even though the internet age had brought a lot of information out into the public, we all know that the quality of information, let me just say this, brothers and sisters, just because you can find a lot of things on the internet does not mean that the quality of that information is equal to the quantity. So in other words, just because you can find a lot of stuff like nationalism, Africa, fertile land, indigenous people, clans, tribes, things like that, does not mean that that is quality information. You and I, we have to be smart enough to go to physical sources. And also, as I've heard years ago, you and I also have to travel off the shores of America, because there is information in books that is not available in America, and you will never be exposed to this rich information if you don't go. And that means that you have to learn another language. And that means that you have to save up enough money and get on a plane and go someplace else. And that means that you have to have the zeal and the gumption to go someplace else and want to go someplace, not just to turn up, but go someplace so you can learn something. And so I think a lot of times when you talk in that way, shape, or form, you sound like you're being superior. We sound like we're being superior. But at the same time, I think a lot of times, brothers and sisters, with a quote-unquote education, they feel like they're superior to everybody else. And they begin to say, well, you know, if you was in the streets, then you can't possibly be as smart as me. And if you did crimes, you can't possibly be as smart as me. And here's the one that I really, really gets under my skin. Well, if you spent 10, 20 years in a movement, then you can't possibly be smart as me, because I wouldn't do that. Have you ever heard that one before? Maybe you haven't heard that one before. Oh, but I have. And when I have to look at this indignant Negro, but you want to know something, honestly, I'm going to keep it 100 with you. It's generally a sister that says something like this to me. I would not dare spend 10, 20 years in a movement. You know what I mean? Like, I basically saying, how stupid can you get when they talk to people who have, like myself? And what I'm saying to you is this. when you have spent a whole bunch of years in a school setting, and then you went straight from that school setting into the white man's corporate world, do you understand that that puts you at a disadvantage? Do you understand that there's certain things you got to unlearn in order to really get along with black people? Let me explain this to you so you can understand. Because today, nobody's going to be superior by the time I get off this phone. And I dropped. I'm sorry. Anyway, I know exactly where I was at. So let me explain something to you, brothers and sisters, so you can understand something. And understand again, I come from the educated class. I don't necessarily come from the bachelor's, master's, or PhD class. But what I learned is that when you try to master something, which I mastered, like I'm trying to, and in the process of mastering electronics, it doesn't matter if you pay for college or you pay for, you know, higher university. You can pay really much. You can shell out your money for the equivalent of a college education just taking classes, courses, and seminars. So a lot of times people think they're superior to those who may not have a quote-unquote BA or BS degree, which you know what college said that was, what the BS stood for, you know what I'm saying, or PhD, which is piled higher and deeper. But the reality of the situation is that, quite frankly, you know, if you are dedicated to your craft and your skill, then you're shelling out 10% of your earnings every time, every paycheck that you get. In fact, every year, if you're really dedicated to your craft, you're shelling out anywhere from 3 to 10% of your earnings on education and training, trying to become a monster at what you do. And that's what the BAIO is looking for. And we are looking for you if you have a PhD, an MA, or a BS. We're looking for that. But what we won't tolerate is when you come around with a superiority complex and you think that you are so smart that everybody else around you is dumb and that makes you superior. See, brothers and sisters, they got this thing going on right now with the Green Bay Packers. And the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, you don't have to know his name. I know his name, but I'm just not going to mention this cracker's name on the show. But either way, be that as it may, what is happening is because they're losing, everybody is coming out and they're saying that this guy is toxic. They're saying that this guy has a superiority complex, and what they refer to him as is Hollywood. See, this is what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying is that if you are not very careful with yourself, listen, I'm coming from a position of love now. If you're not very careful with yourself when you're an educated person, you can take the position that you are superior to everybody else, not realizing that there's incredible amounts of intelligence in the person that you think is at the lowest level of society. When you walk the streets in the hood like I do, and you run into people, you will run into people who are so intelligent, you'd be like, what in the hell? What are you doing out here this smart? And sometimes you will run into children, descendants of quote-unquote Pookie and Ray Ray. And this is why, brothers and sisters, to me, I can't listen to this dude who talked that Pookie and Ray Ray stuff. Maybe you can, I can't. And the reason why I never say it, and the reason is very simple to me. It's because I deal with black people from the lowest rungs of society every single day. And what I'm telling you is some of their children that I have dealt with had genius-level IQ. And I would know if I saw it, because I've been dealing with children all my life in the confines of the nation and said other arenas. And what I'm telling you is that you can call somebody Pookie and Ray Ray who stays up and turns up and drinks all night or whatever, and they have children born with Einstein-level IQ. I know you think that's impossible because you think that you're superior. But the fact of the matter is black people, we are so powerful, it's not even funny. And so to me, what I say to you is this. When you're dismissing a person as not being on your mental or educational level, and then they have children with genius-level IQ, what the hell is wrong with you? Don't you know that that person is born with the answer that you are looking for? Don't you know that the position that you are looking to be filled is, is not the person that's going to fill that position is not going to look the way you want them to look? And so the fact of the matter is, brothers and sisters, to me, when we really want to get into extinction, like I said before, and like we talked about with the description of extinction and what it's really all about, a harmonious society is when everybody's contributing to the society moving and the world that's going around. And that does not mean that there will be others, there will be some that's praised on others. That does not mean that there will be some of higher intelligence than others. That does not mean that there won't be some that are braver than others. That doesn't mean that there won't be some that's tougher than others. But what I'm saying to you, Mr. Educated Man and Educated Woman, before you stick your chest out and stand on a hill on a high horse, you need to understand that there are children being born from the lowest rungs of society that could knock your socks off. And at the end of the day, when a white man pulls the plug and you can't work for him no more, how smart really are you going to be? We'll be back. And I'm back, brothers and sisters. And so I'm going to do this last segment, and I'm going to close out. Like I told you, I'm going to do an hour. And I feel a little bit better. So it was rather therapeutic for me. I'm thankful to Allah for those who are going to listen to this in the future. The stuff that I said here, nevertheless, is not lightweight. It does weigh. And I think that we should really look at it. Really, the last person that I want to talk to that thinks they're superior really is near and dear to my heart. So understand that I'm talking about myself first and then others, is the brother or sister who basically in school, if you're a school teacher, we say that this person has tenure. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the brother or sister who introduces themselves to you with 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in the movement. I had a run-in with somebody that's near and dear to us, as a matter of fact. Didn't know me from Adam, didn't know who I was. And I had posted something, and I talked about how brilliant young people are and can be. I only know that because I work with young people. You know what I mean? Like, you don't got to believe me. All you got to do is go to my Facebook page. Like, you know, we have experience turning young men into decent, civilized gods, period. You should know that already. And young women, for that matter. So anyway, either way, I was talking about the brilliance of young people, how I'm excited, I love working with them. And this brother comes on my post talking about, oh, these young people don't do nothing, don't know how to do nothing, but post on social media and do this, that, and the next thing. I said, quite frankly, as far as I'm concerned, you're speaking like an older person that's afraid of being made irrelevant by the technology that young people use. This person got really, really angry at that. Their panty was in the uproar because they didn't expect me to say that. So the first thing that they did is they flashed their years in the movement. They said, what do I know? I've only been doing this for 25 years. I said, well, hi, how you doing? Nigga, I've been doing it for 24. What was there to say at that point? What was there to talk about at that point? What was there to go into at that point? Nothing. Because the reality of the situation is your superiority now just took a pin cushion or a pin in it and the air is seeping out because I've got just as many years as you have, and what really can you say to me now? What really can you say to me? Now, let me just say this to you, brothers and sisters. If you spent time in a movement trying to help people for over a decade, to me, that's something to be respected. Because you know what that means to me? That means you pay the price. And my teacher, may Allah be pleased with him, the Honorable Minister Louis X, would always tell us that a woman looks to a man and reveres a man who she knows paid a price. And usually will exalt and lord a man who paid a price over a man who didn't pay a price. So I know that a lot of you quote-unquote neo-nerds out there who follow you-know-who, you will mash on black women and say all they want is coons and thugs and, you know, all they want is a dude with his pants hanging down. But the reality of it is what you're really showing is you're showing you don't know a damn thing about women, specifically black women. Because the reality of it is even if a black woman goes after a dude that is out there in the streets with his pants hanging off it, generally it's a dude that paid some kind of price, man. If it is a dude that's in a gang, he paid some kind of price. If a dude that's running the streets and got respect, he paid some kind of price. She doesn't respect his pants falling off his behind. She doesn't respect him smoking a cigarette or smoking weed. She doesn't respect that. What she respects is that, and why she's chosen him, is because she looks at him as somebody that is paid. And what I'm saying to you is if you spend 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years in the movement, I got to respect you. I got to honor you because you paid the price. But fool, that doesn't make you better than me. It doesn't make you better than the man that just came here yesterday. It doesn't make you better than the man. And you want to know something? As Hollywood would say, if he was here today, quite frankly, that kind of makes you worse in some ways. Because if you spent 10, 20, 30, 40 years in the movement and your sorry ass has not eradicated police brutality, you have not been able to acquire land, infrastructure, and nationhood for the people, what is you bragging about? What is you bragging about? None of us have mass amount of land, don't control infrastructure, and really don't have nationhood for us to be bragging about the fact that we've been doing this 10, 20, 30 years, B. None of us do. And for you to be coming on social media, for you to be coming on YouTube videos, and the first thing that you're going to flash is the years that you've been in the movement, oh, shut the hell up. Because all you really, really, what you really need to look at is that you've been spending so many years in the movement, and we got so far to go. So far to go. Because what was the end game? What was the end game of you spending all that time? And to me, brothers and sisters, listen, I had to come a full circle, man. I really did. I had to come a full circle because at some point, a couple of years ago, if you had heard Brother Minister Dowell on Blog Talk Radio, I was bitter. I was bitter, I was angry, and I felt remorse at some point. But then I had to wake up and realize because, you know, I began to invest totally in my career, and it took me away from the movement, and I realized something was missing. And now, brothers and sisters, understand something. When you come around and you flash in your card as you've been in the movement a certain amount of years, you know what that means? That means that your identity is tied to the years you spent in the movement. That means that your self-esteem and your makeup is tied to those years in the movement. And if your self-esteem and makeup is tied from you showing up to some damn conscious rally or you showing up to sell papers or you showing up to put on some white garb as a Nuwabian or you showing up to be a Moor, if that's what makes you as a person, and you, that's the depth of you. You don't have anything else but that. I feel sorry for you, B. Because when they take out your leader, when they evict you from the place you used to meet at, when they minimize your ranks with agents and provocateurs, who are you after that? And that's what I had to learn the hard way. And that's why I had to ask forgiveness, you know, not to nobody, but to God himself for the business I had because I realized I am very fortunate that I did the years that I did in the Black Power Movement, and I would never take that back. And still serving, to be honest with you today, but I'll never take that back because to me, that is like serving in the Black Army, and I would gladly do it over again because before I came in, I was an alcoholic running the streets, and eventually I would have got shot, killed, or stabbed, or something crazy like that, or addicted. But that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is that I had to pay a price, and that price that I paid cleaned me up enough for me to even be, you know, investing in my career and to say I had a career and to say now I'm going to have a business. You know what I'm saying? And so therefore, brothers and sisters, what I realized is very simple. What I realized is, I was a part of the movement, but I should have been moving while I was in the movement. And that's what I have to say to you who think you're superior because you got tenure. To me, what you're doing is a cry for help. And what it means is that you have never really invested in yourself. So what it means is that at the end of the day, you were not moving, but the movement was moving while you were standing still. And I know you guys don't like the religion, some of y'all, and you don't like you want to throw the books in the toilet. I've seen the memes and stuff like that, throw the Bible, the Torah, and the Quran in the toilet, whatever. I get that. You got that, okay? But there's a part in the Quran where it talks about a man standing still in time. And they ask the person if time has passed over your food and drink, and a person answers no. That's you. It's not something metaphysical. What it is that you did not invest enough in your person. You did not invest enough in your life. You did not invest enough in building up who you were. So you had this outer facade being the movement, and that makes you superior. And the reality of the situation is that it doesn't make you superior because you didn't invest enough in yourself in order for you to be somebody worthy of being respected. And now that you know that, now that you've heard your little brother Dawood today, Big Dow to be for sure. Now that you've heard me today, don't take it personal. Don't get mad at me. Don't think that I'm trying to talk down to you because I was there and I'm sharing my experience, boy. But what I'm saying to you today, brother or sister, is now it's time for you to invest in yourself because now you realize that you didn't move while the movement was moving. And it's time to get up and it's time to change. And it's time for you and I to realize that there's more to life than us raising our fists in some movement when we ain't investing in ourselves. And that's all I've ever been trying to say because I'm not throwing away everything I was saying over those years, but that's all I was ever trying to say. What I was saying is that 13 Revolution seeks to empower the individual. But make no mistake, the empowerment of the individual is for the goal of enriching the whole and the collective. Understand? When you empower the individual and you enrich the individual, then the whole is stronger and the whole is more diverse and is greater. When you don't empower the individual, when you silence the voice of the individual, then the whole is weak and everybody is a zombie and can be easily taken over. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I was born to do, and that's what I will do. And so, therefore, I have my marching orders, and you have your marching orders. But what I'm saying at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, is please, don't think you're superior because you got tenure. Because at the end of the day, years is just years if you're a shallow human being. And if you're a shallow human being, then your sorry ass years don't mean nothing to nobody, and it won't mean nothing in the new nation. Brothers and sisters, I thank a lot for your time and attention. I hope and pray you got something out of what we had to say today. I hope and pray that you come back next week because I'm back on, and I will be talking about something else. I don't know what it is now. But as it came before, I dismissed myself. So, I'm Lakem Hotep, peace, Black African power. Oop, it looks like somebody came on. Justin. Let me see. Hold on a second. I was just getting ready to end this, but. Caller from the 516, did you want to say something? Looks like not. Okay, so anyway, like I said, so I'm Lakem Hotep, peace, Black African power. See you next week.